I'm Bob Bolton from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and this is Alaska Voices, a place for communities to connect through conversation in order to build a better tomorrow for Alaskans and the world.
Originally, I grew up in Gakona, Alaska.
Tyonek.
Egypt.
Idaho.
Grand Park.
St. Lawrence Island.
St. Paul.
And I'm here with my student.
My science buddy.
My teacher.
My homie.
I'm his daughter.
Okay, I'm Kathy Wilson. I'm 62 years old. I'm with my friend, Matt Hevner.
And I'm Matt Hevner. I'm 46 years old. And we're friends and colleagues and co-workers, co-conspirators.
What really gets you going? What's the most exciting part of what you're doing now?
What I've always enjoyed is teaching and communicating and trying to describe why I enjoy physics and math to people. But I pick things that are really fascinating, and then it's easy for me to talk about and communicate to other people why they should care, which I think that's the big challenge scientists face. But so I've done, a lot of flashy science, like with lightning. I've done some bat research that you know about. When I was a professor down in Juneau, we had this undergrad. It was the first generation in his family to go to college. He struggled really hard. He came in and had to do remedial math, but he sort of kept with it. And he graduated with a math degree in the end. I got him, a little bit of funding from NOAA to do a question that he was interested in on the glacier. Mendenhall Glacier is literally just a hike from campus. So he got to do the field work, and he presented a poster at a conference. About a year and a half sort of intense work with him to teach him what science is, how scientists think. And at the very end, he said, "Thank you. That was a fantastic experience. I understand now better what scientists do. It's not for me." And I was like, that's success. If the public who isn't a scientist knows what we do and why, then we've done good in education.
One of the things that I've really loved about working at Los Alamos National Lab is the opportunity to, and the kind of the need to be flexible in terms of how you apply your science and what kind of big national questions or issues come up. This is a progression I think most people go through in their lives, having some projects that they work on or a thesis that they work on that's typically pretty scientific, or of course you'd be working on it forever, and then engaging in your career where you have an opportunity to really start putting science in the context of the bigger picture and the impacts on humanity or the interactions with, who we are as humans in society.
So I was then on the faculty at UAS for about 7 years, got tenure, got a permanent job, skipped that, went back to Los Alamos. I came back as a project lead for the nuclear detonation detection capabilities. But while I did that, I was curious. I wanted to understand the societal relevance, and I made the mistake of starting to read policy documents. What is the nation's capability, and how are we doing in detecting and monitoring and making sure there's no nuclear proliferation? And it was an interesting snapshot outside of the lab. Back in the 50s, we were really good at this. In the 60s and 70s, we got better, and then it's kind of lapsed. And so I started asking around the lab. I was like, if this overall capability is in a state of decay and that's what I'm working on, shouldn't we be more engaged in that national conversation? And oversimplifying, people said, "You're talking funny. Go out to D.C. So then I went to OSTP, the Office of Science and Technology Policy, and really got involved in looking at how whole of government coordinates for that kind of issue, how investment decisions are made, even just how information is communicated up from somebody like my former self who knew the individual bits on a satellite, all the wonky details, how that got up to the White House for this event happened. Here's the key information you need to know. So it's a fantastic opportunity to really pull together basic science and national level policy discussions.
I never would have considered myself a climate scientist, but now if I'm sitting on a chairlift at Taos ski area and somebody gets on the chairlift with me and says, "Hey, so what do you do, for a living?" Typically now I'll say, "Oh, I'm a climate scientist." But that route was very circuitous because my training is math, then hydrology, geomorphology, and now climate science. And sometimes the response would be, "You don't believe in that crap, do you?"
Right.
And my first response would be something like, I don't consider it a belief system. It is based on the same sort of science and technology that we use to understand how a lot of things work. Like we use computational fluid dynamics, which are the same type of science that's used to make sure your airplane stays in the air. One of the things that's really brought you and I together now as co-workers, there's the broader issues of national security and climate impacts on national security, but especially in terms of the Arctic. It's changing so rapidly, and it bridges everything from the climate science and how the operational environment is changing on land and in the Arctic Ocean, but also space weather, space conditions.
Communications. Tourists that are up there,
tourists,
search and rescue, the whole thing.
Yes, that's right.
And it even ties in, I mean, geomorphology of where are the resources, you know, who's going after the
energy development, yeah. You know, right.
What do you think the biggest challenge is you face in your career right now?
I think our biggest challenge is that we're mincing words about a really big problem, that human impacts on the climate system are real and serious, and we're driving the Earth into new states that are unprecedented, and we're likely to lose the cryosphere.
In the national security, global security world, it's, well, other countries are going to be up there. The ice is thinner. You know, how are our boats going to work? How is, you know, we've got more people that are going to be tourists up there, and we have to do search and rescue. We don't care why they're going. They're just going. The biggest challenge, I think, is probably fundamentally education. But beyond that, understanding the role that science plays in policy discussions. Science should be the bridge across political groups. So I think that's the biggest challenge, you know, as a society we face.
Well, Matt, I really enjoyed having a chance to learn more about where you come from and what you're thinking about.
Thanks so much. It was fun talking.
Alaska Voices builds bridges by creating a space where community members, friends, policymakers, and scientists can share stories and place-based knowledge. This project was developed in partnership with StoryCorps and was funded by the Alaska Climate Adaptation Science Center. Additional funding was provided by the University of Alaska Fairbanks Chancellor through a generous gift from the Bentley Family Trust. Alaska Voices would not be possible without the help and efforts of an amazing group of people. Our producer and audio engineer is Kelsey Skomberg of Mossy Stone Media. Our podcast and outreach specialist is Michael DeLue. And our website designer is Carolyn Rosner. If you are interested in more conversations or information, please visit our website at alaskavoices.org.